The second bill, which I think has now been distributed, is House File 2100, Representative Clark's bill, and that Senator Rummel's, the companion bill, and you should have both the Senate engrossment of that and also the House language. It was actually passed in the House as part of a bigger bill, however.
It's very similar.
Ms. Cleveland, you haven't gone through these yet to go through differences, or have you?
I have.
Okay. Could you go through them with me as well?
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, on page one of both, there's no side-by-side for this, but the Senate version, line 1.11, and the House 1.12 and 1.13, there's a small language difference. The Senate says a product contained in a can, and the House says other than a food or beverage product contained in a can. And that's the only difference in the definition section.
When I, just to interrupt there for a second, when I talked with Senate counsel on that, was trying to figure out what they wanted to include or not, I think it, and I already mentioned and asked Senate counsel if she could, and maybe you can talk with her at some point over the next couple of days. That is, that what I think they're trying to ban is the containing of it in any of these things meant for children, and apparently infant formulas as well, but not certain other soft drinks and so on. And the way it's worded here with this other than a can, it's kind of a, I mean, most toys don't come in cans, and I think it would be simpler and clearer if it listed what's excluded and then refer to the food and beverages with the canned stuff. But I asked her to take a look at how to define that better.
And Mr. Chair, I do have Senate counsel's notes, but we haven't had the chance to...
Right, that's fine.
Just wanted to mention that. That's a concern.
Then on page two of both bills, section two for both, there's some language differences. The Senate states by January 1st, 2009, and the House says beginning January 1st, 2009. And the House also has, or the Senate has for sale, and the House has for initial sale at retail. That may not be technical. I'm not sure the effect of that.
Explain, that was to be sure that we were talking about new products, and it was the language that our suggested that we use, so that we're talking about new.
Yeah, I think new sounds like it would accomplish the same. I don't know if there's a technical, if it's purely technical or not, but new sounds like it does it. Okay, continue.
And then, Mr. Chair and members, the House also in Section 2 includes a definition then of what bisphenol A means. And the Senate doesn't.
My one concern about that and looking at it is that means would mean you would ban any of those, even if it's not. Bisphenol A is a particular chemical, and this is describing some of the impacts or what the nature of the chemical is. I think we should ask counsel to take a look at, make sure the definition is what we want to have. That it is bisphenol A rather than we're hitting other things that are not bisphenol A. But please continue.
Mr. Chair, that Section 3 of both bills has some, again, technical differences, the same by January 1st, and the House has beginning January 1st, and then also other technical changes, for instance, on line 2.10 in the House, it says one of the following phthalates and then lists them. And in the Senate on 2.7, it just lists them, contains the different ones. And then in the House, also on line 2.11 to 2.12, includes language about the plastic tubing used to deliver the solution. And, Mr. Chair and members, the rest of the bills are identical. Sections 4
and 5.
Ms. Cleveland, one perhaps tiny one, but on line 210 of the House bill, when you say contains one of the following phthalates, I'm just wondering if there may be products that might have more than one in that would not be banned. If I don't know if that's just purely technical or not, but if you can look at that with.
Mr. Chairman, it looks like on 217, 218 of the House, there's also a definition of phthalates. That's not in the Senate bill.
And again, that might be the same issue I raised earlier about the bisphenol A one, and that is if there are non-phthalate chemicals used to provide flexibility to polyvinyl chloride, don't want to exclude. I mean, you want the alternatives. You don't want to ban them. So mm-hmm. if they could just look at that. Is there other discussion or things we should be talking about with that bill right now? So, Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. Sorry that I'm having to catch up on some
it's okay.
stuff. But to the point that you raised about one of the following versus,
yeah.
that may be more than a legal, technical question. I don't. I mean, do these accumulate together? That was the question I think you were getting at. And,
yeah.
You know, whether 0.1 of two of them would be worse, or 0.5 of each of them would equal 0.1.
0.1 of.
And do we know the answer to that?
Is there anybody here who, Ms. Schuler, do you? If not, we can, if nobody has the answer, if somebody could get back to us, I think the committee would be interested in knowing it. Mm-hmm. Before we continue, maybe we should have the other two folks who came in more recently just introduce themselves. Senator Torres-Ray.
Patricia Torres-Ray, representing Minneapolis Southeast District 62 in the Senate.
And Jim Abler, State Rep. Anoka in the City of Austin.
Then, is there anything else on those two bills? Okay. Is there any testimony that you wanted on it? I'm not asking for testimony unless people are saying they want it. Make sure we have
clarification.
Any clarification? Now let's set those two bills aside. The next bill, Representative Tingelstad's House File 3371 and Senator Ress's House File. Senator Ress, Senate File 3193. And this is the adoption bill. And Ms. Cleveland, do you have anything on these? Have you had a chance to, or Senate Counsel's notes or anything?
I do have, Mr. Chair, Senate Counsel's notes, but I haven't had a chance to go through section by section. But her note says that there are minor and technical differences, that nothing is substantive. And on the feed the placement of the feed language, the Department of Health has indicated they prefer the house placement. Those are the only notes I have on that.
House placement, so that's, but it's as a technical issue. So
section 9.
The department is saying they prefer the house language, it sounds like. At least that one section, but they're all technical differences.
Mr. Chair, that's my understanding.
And that language, the issue with that is that it's codified in one bill and just session law in the other. Okay. Is there any discussion of that, any concerns about the direction of that? Not so with the bill, but is there any discussion or concerns about it?
Oh, this is
single stand adoption.
Oh, yeah, this is asked for a good job.
And since you weren't here at the beginning, both of you, the leadership had asked us to pull together in a public health bill, the DECA bill we already discussed, the Clark phthalate bill we've discussed, this bill, and the DULA bill, Senator Pappas, Representative Lane. And then I had said I wanted to include in bill that Representative Gottwald and I have been working on with a number of pharmaceutical issues, and then also the swimming pool bill, which is Representative Thiessen's, and so on. Both of those may be moving on their own, I don't know, but.
Yeah. So this is a good bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just noticing with a quick glance on page 1 on the bottom of the Senate bill, there's a exception. That's the last line, says unless there's an affidavit of non-disclosure on file with the state registrar. And I don't exactly know what that means, but I think we should for sure consult with the two authors, Rest and Tinglestead, about you know which version they'd like.
And I think the Senate staff and Senate staff make sure we talk with the two of them and find out which language they're more comfortable with.
I bet you that the non-disclosure would solve a lot of the concerns that some of the people have about having mm-hmm. not get out. They say, I do not want to be.
I actually thought both of them. I thought it's in there. I think it's elsewhere in the bill.
Okay.
We should make sure that both authors are.
That would be great to get
that. We're not missing something.
I'm seeing it in the House bill now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so it may just be moved around, but if hosts and Senate staff can check on that with the two authors, that would be helpful. Yes, that's. I was going to call your staff already on that to say that we should include it because that's what you're planning to do on the House floor whenever. But
copy the amendment if you want.
We may have that already.
Oh, it was for the House. Oh, that was the one. Yeah, that's
yes,
the one I gave you.
The one thing. This is he had some amendments on. That were, I believe, uncontroversial, and the one thing they were not. We passed the bill before then, unless they passed the
no,
Senate separately.
It's Senator Bergman's the NASPR piece is her
okay.
bill. I think it's stuck on something, but a NASPR. It's a drug reporting.
It was controversy last year. This is some cleanup language. I believe
it has to do with painkiller reporting, and you're supposed to register, and it has to be put off a year. And there's some technical things agreed to by the Board of Medical Practice and the pharmacists who have to implement the thing.
And I think there are technical amendments. The one thing I left a message with your staff earlier, and that is that in case some of that has not passed the House or Senate, I think some of it may have, but in case it is not, the leadership asked if we make sure leadership of both houses is aware of anything like that.
Oh, sure.
That they do, and I think they'll approve it. I just think we should.
Wonderful.
I want to make sure you or I talk with them about it.
Yeah, great. That'd be a great amendment. And there's another tiny
Mr. Chairman, Ripson Abler, in the Higher Ed Conference Committee this morning, Ripson McFarland was going to offer an amendment there, and then we had to adjourn on immunizations. Something you were involved with?
Yes,
is that a disclosure or something?
Right. It passed the House on the education bill, but it has to do with just on the form, the application form,
uh-huh.
when they ask for immunization data, that they just allow. They list, like you do in the K-12 form, that there's exceptions that don't.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if it was more appropriate for this bill, but I think it's fine in the education bill.
Do you want to bring it in here and talk about this? Sort of a public health.
Kind of a public health issue?
Just a disclosure.
Maybe you could get who's got the language?
I can get it.
Okay, if staff can make sure they get that too. Is there anything else about the adoption bill? If not the doula bill, Representative Lane. Oh, let's see. Ms. Cleveland, do you want to go through the differences in House File 3768 and Senate File 2825?
Mr. Chair and members, the differences are both on page 2 of both bills. In paragraph C, the Senate adds language clarifying that the patient has the right to a doula of her choice, excuse me, so long as the doula performs within the accepted scope of practice and standard of care, and the House doesn't have that language. And then in paragraph D, Senate states that the maternity patient whose choice of primary care should receive as part of their prenatal education information regarding all methods of pain relief, including evidence-based non-pharmacological methods. And the House requires maternity patients be fully informed of evidence-based non-pharmacological methods of pain relief.
Senator Pepper's Representative Lane, you got some comments.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, in the Senate version, this was the result of kind of negotiations and compromises with interested parties, you know, the Medical Association, et cetera. So I think the Senate version is probably the more up-to-date version.
Yes, and I would agree, actually, because it didn't move in the House. But in my discussions with some of the people, I was concerned about these things myself, and I was pleased with the language they came up with.
So there's no dispute over that. Senate counsel did mention that the place this was put in the Patient Bill of Rights made this meaningless, and she suggested we move it somewhere else. If you looked at it all.
I think the problem is that the Patient Bill of Rights refers to patients specifically in a hospital, and this was maybe meant to
not be a hospital.
Yeah. So the language could go in another separate provision of Chapter 144, an individual provision.
Just the D language?
So in other words, the
C and D.
So if Senate Counsel and House Research can work together on coming up where we should put that language, apparently people are saying informally the Senate language is the one they go with.
Mm-hmm. Senator, just a question to that. Yep. This doesn't mean it has to be paid for. It's considered a mandate. It's just the right to have it.
That's correct.
Not that I don't favor the mandate.
It's worth discussing.
But since they can get it, it's a good service.
Further discussion on that?
Questions, Chair. The scope of practice and standard of care, is that been established for DCs?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, yes, there is an accepted scope of practice and standard of care that's established, and that was agreed to with, I think it was the Hospital Association. So they had some concerns that some doulas were working outside of their scope of practice and giving kind of medical advice, and the doula representative was very clear that that is definitely, they could be kicked out of the hospital for that.
And don't they have a registry now on a website so that doulas who are properly educated and trained and function under that can be listed on a website for people to have access to?
I think there may be a complaint process too.
Any other discussion or questions or concerns about that? Okay.
Audience? Okay.
Next one, maybe we'll take up the Senate File 29. 41, bill that I've been working on with Representative Gottwald. And the Senate has a number of more provisions, and I think from what I heard from, I know from Representative Gottwald, he was planning to take the Senate language, but I think the House had some language where it was a little better technically, and I don't know if you have that or not, but Ms. Cleveland, if you want to go through at least the Senate language, because in my conversations with Representative Gottwald, he wanted to take this. He was also going to add Representative Abler's provisions, though we will discuss those separately in a few minutes.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate Section 1, the House does not have. Section 2 in the Senate and Section 1 in the House are similar with with the exception of the effective date, the Senate has a following final enactment, and the House is silent, which would make it August. The effective date would be August 1st. Section 3 in the Senate and Section 2 in the House, there are, you know, minor technical differences again. The effective date is, the issue is true throughout. The Senate includes Section effective date. Then Section 5 in the Senate, which is on page 4, the House doesn't have that provision. And Section 6 in the Senate on page 5 is the repealer. And Senate counsel noted that this language was passed twice last session, so it's repealing it once.
Yeah, I remember that. It was passed in two separate bills, so it was placing two separate statutes, and we can repeal one of the two. So. Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with this legislation. Do you want to just give a brief summary of it?
Briefly.
Just what are you trying to do here? What does it do?
This is a sort of a mini omnibus pharmaceutical bill. The original bill Representative Gottwald and I had was one that came out of a situation, I don't think quite in his district, but a young man who died from a drug overdose from some pain relief medicine, some type of medicine he got online from a fraudulent drug pusher pharmacy that was actually doing the prescriptions online, and then you pick it up at the local pharmacy. And they had some pharmacies they were working with here. And we put a requirement in there that they couldn't do it simply by an online questionnaire, which is what they were doing last year. We passed that into law. Of course, they moved the next step, and then they say, oh, it's not just on that. They do a phone consultation. It was purely the doctor knew nothing about the patient. The patient just said something, and they, okay, we'll write the prescription. So the pharmacy was making money. It was form of drug dealing, and this is tightening up the law. That was the point of this legislation, to do it. And that language is, it's on page 3. You can see we list certain drugs. These are controlled substances, muscle relaxants, the type of drugs that tend to be abused that people are buying online to get around the law. And any of those drugs, you cannot buy them unless online, unless there is at the top of the page, unless it can be established the prescription or order on page 3, lines 6 and 7, including an examination. The language we're crossing a few lines earlier than that is the online questionnaire we put in last year. So there has to be a bona fide examination of the patient. It can't just be a doctor over the phone for one of these pharmacies doing fraudulent things. This also allowed a number of provisions in here. We allow page 3, line 31, expedited partner therapy. U.S. Center for Disease Controls for sexually transmitted infections would be where, say, a woman would come into the doctor with, I believe it's for chlamydia, one or two types of STIs, and would be able to get from the practitioner prescription, antibiotic prescription for partners. And that's strictly done under the U.S. Center for Disease Control protocol, and that's being done now, apparently, but it was questionable legality, so they're making sure it could be done. We also have section 4, I wanted to have added in there because that was one where technically if you pick up a prescription for your spouse or your kids, you're illegally in possession of that pharmacy under the law if you read it carefully. So we are making it clear that you can pick up a prescription for somebody else. Section 5 came from the counties. It was trying to fix unused drugs that correctional facilities have. They're individually sealed drugs and so on have been unused. We tried to fix it last year, and I believe the counties had some difficulty with that. I believe Ms. Brewington's here if we have questions on that. And then finally, the first section, dispensing by protocol. This is the registered nurse at a family planning agency can dispense not just oral contraceptives, but patch and other types of them as well, which are also prescription. And that's, I believe, the substance of what all the provisions in this bill were. And Representative Abler had some amendments that I think everybody had agreed to that were going to be offered when the bill gets the House floor, if the bill gets the House floor.
Right. And Ursula's going to make copies. I have 3 for starters.
Maybe you can share 2 over here and 1 over that side.
Yeah, so. And Ursula's going to make a few more.
And I've seen it, but could you go through the bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just gave away my copy. Well, the first part is just my 4th year of discounted payment. It's just a cleanup on the Cairo side. It simply says if you're going to discount or do something for free, it has to be good. It's and so last year we repealed a rule, because there was too much rule. Now it's a much shorter rule, and it's in statute. Just reinstates what was there.
No quickie adjustments.
Well, if they are, they have to be
good. They have to be good quickie adjustments.
Well, no, they can be quick, but if they're free, we allow people to do things for free or for discounts. This just says if you're doing discounted or free work, it has to be the same. Yeah, good. So that's that. And the board had wanted that reinstated, so I told them we try to do that. The other part is a little more complicated in terms of detail. That's the NASPR part. It's technical changes to NASPR. There was some concern that people would give too little medication out. That's what page 211 to 214 is. The change to 2010, they just can't do it by the deadline that we had, and so they need this year to get the thing up and running, which actually would make the opponents happy. And then it goes on. It expands the size of the committee on the bottom of page 2. It changes a little bit of the data. This is all agreed to by the people who care. But on page 3, some of the data they collect is there. And there's some technical language on 328 and the following about data they wouldn't have to report if it's just deemed to be not necessary by the national work. This is all following a national model. And I don't know what the technical thing on page 4 is. It looks pretty technical to me.
It's all not controversial at all. There was one, I thought there was one thing that was significant in here.
The delay is obviously significant.
Right, that's important to the people doing that, because they're going to be in jail, I think.
And this has all been run. Cody Weiberg, you said, had from the Board of Pharmacy, had worked this all out. Treatment for intractable pain, that was one of my concerns about the bill last year, so I'm glad you have the explicit statement in there. But as far as, from what you know, to those who are supporting, who were supporting it last year, are still want this language too.
Right. And I put it in as a bill, just because and not one person has come to me at all about it. And there was huge, some of the working group meetings last year you would have wanted to be at. There were normal people that were very, like Higgins on Magnum, and they were yelling. It was very dramatic. But I won't tell you their names, but it was.
You'd be surprised at yelling. So this is really.
And I'm going to ask if anybody in the audience on this one, because this is one that we're not sure if it's passed the House or Senate, if anybody had any particular concerns about this, or is it the sense of anybody who's here that these provisions were uncontroversial? I don't see anyone standing up saying they got to speak to it. But again, I think we've got to make sure that we run it by leadership in both houses before we move forward.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, as long as we're an omnibus public health conference committee, there is, we do require education on STIs and HIV. And I actually have some language that is kind of compromised language that I'm working on with the governor's office on the sex ed bill that was passed by both bodies, because I really don't want to get a vetoed bill. And maybe that could be brought into this committee, because it's actually no longer presenting comprehensive sex ed. It's just updating the existing statute, which is on STIs and HIV.
That might be very appropriate for this.
And that's agreed to?
It's not agreed to yet.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you about it later. Okay. I'll tell you who I have to negotiate with.
That's certainly something we can look at.
I know.
It'd be helpful if you can finish it by Monday, because that's the day I think we're supposed to be.
I have a question for the chair. Is that the ban that we're doing, is that a discussion item at all with the
ban.
Executive, the dysdental, and all that stuff? We're banning her. Is the chief executive comfortable with that? Is that going to put this?
I have no idea. I'm not the one who's the author of that, so.
Mr. Chairman, there have been numerous efforts to contact the governor's office about those bills. Numerous efforts. And we haven't actually accomplished that. So maybe you'd like to help us.
And, you know, you don't want to send a bill off.
It's not the one.
I just asked a question. I don't want to send a bill off to certain doom, especially if it had other interesting things added on. Is anybody from the governor's office here that could just comment about that? I support the bill. I voted for the bill the way it was. The ban.
The pharmacy book?
Well, yeah, the best stuff with the
oh, the DECA book.
And all that. Because I know for dollars have the same thing is going on. All the
anybody from governor's office here?
Is there a department person here?
It must be spread really thin.
Is it time to redo this if I get through that?
I don't know how long we're doing the session this year.
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm the author of the DECA bill, and I've not gotten any communication from the governor's office that he's considering vetoing it.
Right. I hope not. I just wanted to ask the question.
And usually I do because he vetoes a lot of my bills.
Oh, yeah.
So
anything else about the language that Representative Abler has talked about? If not, you'll be in charge, I hope, of talking with leadership.
I'll try and help you with that.
Thank you. And there's other piece, too.
Oh, here's the front.
And we're making sure, right now, I think we're distributing that language that we just discussed for those of us who didn't have copies.
That's good.
What's this one?
Yes.
I got it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's kind of funnily.
I'm trying to find it.
We can describe it if not. Federal government was requiring states to
NASP prescribing report. It's a national prescribing reporting system. That's part of NASPR.
Yeah. NASPR system for prescribing and reporting.
Part of this. Yeah. It's made out of that.
Maybe Ms. Kevin knows. Welcome.
Controlled substance prescription electronic reporting
system.
We're
trying to figure out what NASPR stands for again. The
oh God.
National something
National reporting.
Right.
Okay. Reporting.
And so if you're using a class 3 narcotic or something like that, and you need to, what the problem was people were getting it and selling it or taking away too much.
Or going to two or three pharmacies and getting the rest of them,
where
you get two or three different doctors and get them to
Is this just the doctors can get?
As long as they know, then that's fine. They can do it.
And it was highly controversial with the Board of Medical Practice last year because it concerned a lot of doctors that giving legitimate pain medication, they'd be concerned about that, which is why I'm glad you, I think it, as it worked out last year, was pretty, both sides were relatively comfortable with it, but this treatment of intractable pain, I'm glad that language is being added here.
Because there was concern of underuse.
Yeah.
By people who need it for fear of the doctors.
I think the doctors are very afraid of being looked at as being a doctor who's
over-prescribing.
The plan is passed it last year.
Right. This is clean up
the language.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, this is nothing to do with
it. It makes some of the opposition more comfortable, actually. Anything else on either that or the Marty Gottwald bill? And then if not, well, the last one we have is the swimming pool bill.
Senate file 2833 and file 3812.
Senate Counselor, House Research, either you want to ready to go over the differences or?
Yeah, cover those. For the most part, these two bills are very similar. The Senate has a couple of sections that the House doesn't, but my understanding is that there's the House wants to have those sections. Sorry.
I have an amendment to the House file that will kind of reach, if you want to just pass
it. Is it the same thing as the Senate language?
That'll conform, well, that
some
of Senator Michelle and I have agreed on combined.
So this
the
is
two.
A combined version.
Yes.
So why don't we distribute that and see if people have concerns, or do people want to hear what the two versions were separate from this, or
no?
No.
Then delete everything?
Thank you.
Mainly
I'm glad.
Mainly about dates.
Okay, so
you can see that from the amendment.
So
looks like we have
this. Yeah, like some of them are ones that are already in the Senate,
okay.
One, the Abigail Taylor Pool Safety Act.
Mr. Chair, I believe that the amendments that were done on the House or the Senate floor were the ones that you had agreed with Senator Michelle.
Oh,
so I think these are all,
right.
Except for the appropriation. Now, I thought there was language in the appropriation, the budget bill that took care of it out of the parks.
There's two appropriations that we're talking about, Mr. Chair. One is to some money to take care
of. Oh, this,
this appropriation layer is going to move money with special revenue account.
Okay, 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 yeah.
And that's in the Senate bill already, so.
So, so in other words, are you saying, Ms. Kavanagh, that the A8 amendment that was just distributed, put on the House bill, is the same as the Senate bill, other than that extra appropriation, which you're saying is being carried in the other bill?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay.
So, yeah, I believe that it's all, these are already made in the in the Senate.
Okay, then.
Bill.
If one of the two of you wants to go through the Senate bill, then that would be the same as, that's what you want in effect.
There's Mr. Chair, just to clarify, there is, we're, with this amendment, the A8 amendment, which is the House language, we're actually keeping some House language that's not in the Senate bill as well around dates.
Okay.
If that makes
yes,
sense.
Yes. So, Ms. Cleaver, can you try
and through the two bills and then we can.
Okay. Yeah, the House file 3812.
Yep.
It should be there.
Okay, so Mr. Chair and members, the Senate language has the citation which the A8 would put into the House in the first section. Section 2 in the Senate and Section 1 in the House are the same. Page 2 of the Section 4 in the Senate and Section 3 in the House have some, I think all the dates are the same here except in the line 220 in the Senate and line 217 in the House, the A8 amendment would make those dates the same, 2009. Of both bills, Section 5 in the Senate and Section 4 in the House are the same. Section 6 in the Senate and 5 in the House are the same. Page 4 of both bills, Section 7 and in the Senate and Section 5 in the House are basically the same. I think paragraphs B and C are switched. And there's a technical difference on line 4.4 in the House.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Pappas.
Did anybody hear the NPR story about swimming ponds? I'd never really heard of that before. But there was a whole story about how cool they are. And they don't have that suction issue that swimming pools have.
Please continue.
Section 8 in the Senate and Section 7 in the House are the same. Section 10 in the Senate and 9 in the House are the same. And then on page 9 in both bills, this 11 in the Senate is the appropriation language the A8 amendment would add. The revisor's instruction, the A8 amendment would make the House language the same as the Senate. That's a technical issue anyway. And then the effective dates, Section 13 in the Senate and 11 in the House, would be made to be the same as the Senate, the A8 amendment again.
It sounds like we are. Okay. Now that we know that.
So, Mr. Chair, can I? There is one difference in the swimming pond. Is I think we have circulation and you have recirculation, and I don't know which one is correct. I mean, if we're going to make it.
We're going to teach them what you want, Sequoia or research.
I don't, is swimming pond, it's in the Senate, it's.
412.
Is it 412?
Yes. Well, research, that means it goes through something.
Or 13, it's water circulation system, and you. I think you have recirculation, and we might want.
Eagle eyes, you can.
Oh, I just I remember that difference, so we might as well get the right.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I was going to say the language in the House version is the same as what's currently in 1812, which is my understanding from the Department of Health is the one they want. I don't know if it matters because there's not that much difference.
Okay. The Health Department would prefer the which language?
The House language.
Okay. So that's the area.
That might be because it's recirculation.
Yep.
Health Department will have comment on. Let's use the House language then for that paragraph, and the rest of it's the Senate language. Is that what you're?
We could, yes, let's do that.
I mean, okay. If you hear otherwise, yes. Let us know.
But if there's a lawsuit, which is on the tape that we have now, we mean it to be the same unless somebody.
We don't.
Okay, that'll help the judge.
That'll help. So, any discussion of that?
And there's no, I don't think there's any controversy over any of those. That's just technical,
that
right?
One is just technical.
And with what you were talking about, the appropriations being carried in another bill, there's no dispute over that right now?
No.
Or?
The appropriation in this bill is just within the fund. There's a separate appropriation to help some parks.
Okay. Oh, that was the Senate one was to help the parks and the cities. That couldn't,
yes.
Okay.
So that's a whole separate. Yeah.
Okay. Is there discussion of any of this? Concerns, questions about this?
Great idea.
Okay. Is there any more?
This is the last one.
This is the last.
Senator,
oh, this is
when
you talked about earlier.
Yeah. If you're comfortable, it'd be nice to get this done.
Restate it again?
Oh, the immunization thing. Oh, okay.
It simply says there's actually four exceptions. People need immunization. I don't think that. For medical reasons, they didn't get one. The drug, they already had the disease. The lab has said there's an immunity, or if they have a notarized statement. And on the people applying somewhere aren't always notified that they don't have to get them if they've already had them. And so they may actually go get something they don't
redundant
need just to fill out a form.
Okay.
And these aren't even, yeah, so it's a tiny little micro. Yeah, so Senator Pappas, I think you.
This is what you were going to put in your bill originally? Or?
This is what was proposed this morning, and we ran out of time.
Okay.
Well, why don't we put it in here then? If,
yeah, if you don't mind.
Okay. It seems more appropriate
good
in this bill.
Yep, it does.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Did we have any more bills?
No.
Okay.
Then.
Just go back to the pool bill. There is still a little bit of conversation going on.
Okay, you may have
update
by Monday.
Yes.
Just
hope
so
by Monday. Do you want me to ask anybody who thinks about bands and stuff a good idea or not? Or
sure.
Yes, it's
I wasn't surprised. I'm not a fan.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator.
All right, Mr. Chairman, then if we're discussing bills to include in here with leadership, then I wanted to propose this. Both the House and the Senate have passed, and the Senate has many times, legislation on updating the current statute to have a more broader approach toward sex ed. What this proposal does is it really just looks at the existing statute. It doesn't repeal it, which the sex ed provision that we passed does, but it just looks at kind of updating the existing statute on education about STI and diseases and HIV. And you can see that it's a kind of a joint deal between the Commissioner of Ed and the Commissioner of Health. So I think it is appropriate for this conference committee. And I changed the word technically to medically accurate and updated to age appropriate. And then we add on in subdivision 2 after helping students to abstain from sexual activity until marriage contributes to healthy relationships, develops communication skills, and promotes individual responsibility. And then we also added, I forgot, on line, the third line, and then again in section 4, that we are trying to prevent unintended pregnancy, which I'm told the governor's really big on. So maybe this will help us pass this bill.
Yeah. And, yeah, it looks like the medically, technically, the updated information, I mean, that sounds like a correction more than
they're very vague. Technical and updated are just very vague words. You don't really know what those means. But otherwise, the existing mandate to school districts stays, and it doesn't expand it or constrict it in any other ways than saying that when you're talking to kids about sexually transmitted diseases, it might be a good idea to also talk about how to have a healthy relationship between people of the opposite sex, how to communicate with someone, you know, like when no means no and no doesn't mean yes. And frankly, don't we all want our children to take some responsibility for being healthy and taking care of their bodies? So,
Senator, I'm just this is sort of spark a discussion in some circles, shall I say? Think you're probably as close to the place. I wonder if the age appropriate is necessary. My question is, my district fought this out long and hard about 5 years ago, and it came up with a comp my district can't be real.
Okay.
And it's resolved there.
If you can think of another word, I'd be happy to look at that.
Because it's certainly going to be
just guidelines and other medically accurate information.
You just get rid of the whole age appropriate thing. You don't deal with any like preschool sex ed stuff.
Yeah.
So if you just get rid of the and after in both places, if it's medically accurate
information.
And then you're silent on what age. And then the district can decide that. And
I think that was put in because of that concern, to try to address that concern.
I mean,
that's
the original reason it was put in, but you're saying you think that...
Well, there's some people that don't want their kindergartner having...
Right.
And whatever might be appropriate for kindergartner to know would...
Be just, very limited.
I think it gives you a better chance to get out of this alive if you take it out of both places.
All right, let's look at that.
In both one and two. Because then you're just... I think it makes it a better bill. Then it's more flexible.
Comprehensive medically accurate curriculum.
I think it's not a substantive change. I think it's a question of which one helps people feel more comfortable with what.
I think you're definitely at the comfort level.
And you're leaving the school district to determine the appropriateness.
Right. The age.
Which they would be determining with or without the language anyway.
Okay. But they certainly wouldn't give a curriculum that was inappropriate.
We would hope not.
Groups that teach that.
Right.
This is what you were going to be putting in your bill. Now we'd be moving it to this.
It was going to be in Senator Wicker's bill. Right, and he has other problems in that bill that are...
You mean the whole sex ed?
No, he has some report carding language that the governor doesn't like. So his bill could be vetoed unless they work that out.
Do we know what the governor's position would be on this?
Well, it's being negotiated right now between...
This is pretty
light. It's being negotiated between Senator Roebling and Tom Pritchard right now. I'm sure they'll let us know.
If they want age appropriate in, we'll put it back in.
Yeah, it's not touching on
the
Yeah.
And I don't know that you're against relationships and skills. So it's really kind of. I think you found maybe it's the Venn diagram of agreement here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any discussion further about this? Are there other matters we should be discussing today? I think we've got lots of responses.
Anybody in the audience have any other ideas, bills they want to throw in?
No.
No.
Ideas they have.
Medical marijuana? That's public health.
I think we've got Senator Carlson.
I have one question back on the... On the pool bill and
pools
and ponds. Do we have a description of the pool versus pond? Because it says in there that swimming ponds have a grandfather, and then but in the beginning, the very first page one and the review of construction plans, it only talks about pools.
Swimming pools.
So are ponds also? Because it does say in there that ponds...
Are we defining ponds if we're not including them? Is that your...
Well, yeah, we separate them later on page 4, but we don't separate... We don't even mention ponds in the construction plan review.
Mr. Chair, these ponds are actually kind of concrete lines.
Right.
Related, add sand on top of so I think the concern was that they could be considered a pool. And so we want to specifically say that not all pool covers would apply that.
Well, on 411, it says, notwithstanding paragraph A, a swimming pond must meet the requirements.
Except for the, right, except for, so you're saying you think that there are pools already?
I think that we're saying on 113 that pool construction plans must be submitted for review. And then back here, we don't mention ponds. And then back here on 411, we say that the pond has to meet the same requirements, inspection and I think it's performance. So I think we, to be consistent, I think wouldn't we have to say all public pool and pond construction plans?
Ms. Cleveland.
Mr. Chair, members, I think that public pond, these ponds, technically by this definition of public pool, the new that's in this bill, they fall into it. And so anytime you talk about a public pool construction, you would be talking about a pond, except for this exemption that is carved out for a limited amount of time. It expires in 2011. So from that point on, then anytime you talk about construction of a public pool, it would be again then talking about a pond being included.
Okay, so pool equals pond.
Except for the
grandfather.
For the
okay.
Yeah.
Further questions about that, or any discussion about any more of these items? Our goal is to get done by here at 2 o'clock, and that means we've got a minute 30. To spare.
Yeah.
Is there any more discussion of any of this? If not, we're assuming you guys are going to be the House conferees on Monday. That's what we've been told.
The meeting will be when on Monday?
It will be after 11 o'clock because you're not going to be appointed until 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And we're supposed to be done with these bills by Monday night, I believe. So if we can have all those little technical things kind of, if staff can work on them, and we'll have some discussions. And I mean, obviously, there's some compromise types of issues you're discussing. And
so staff will write these all up and do a one big amendment then?
Or we can do it, probably do it section by section amendments.
Yeah.
In effect, yeah.
So they'll have copies again.
Yeah. We will have it available. Any further discussion, any further business for the...
Should we save all our copies in our folders?
You can put them in your folders. It may help if we're going to use it. With that, this meeting of the informal version of the conference committee will be adjourned.